Hello, dear listener, and welcome back to Bondfinger, the only James Bond commentary podcast unable to afford Gert Froberg and forced to settle for his non-union Liverpudlian equivalent. I'm Nathan.
I'm Brendan.
And I'm a lovely, swishy, dangerous, skirty type thing with a nasty finger in this one.
I have no idea.
And tonight, Richard, I'm James.
Oh, James. All right, we're back. We're still doing this against all sorts of medical advice. We are going to watch an episode of The New Avengers. And it's episode 4 of series 1. First broadcast in the UK on the 9th of November 1976, I want to say. And in Australia just a few months later.
Yes, it was very big.
Very, very big and sort of broadcast almost immediately afterwards. It's called The Midas Touch. Richard, why are we watching this?
We're watching this for some very, very good reasons. It's got Joanna Lumley, first, second and third. And she was, of course, a Bond girl. We all know what he's in for. And it has also the redoubtable and marvellous Tanya Mallett, Tilly Masterson, in her second and only other screen role after Goldfinger.
Wow.
So where she plays that girl outside the cockpit.
This one. She gets no lines, does she?
Well, let's find out.
Okay, it's going to happen quite soon.
I think she was uncredited.
Yeah, she's not even credited. She plays Sarah. Yes. I think she's mates of someone. But yeah, she had retired from acting, but it's a lovely... let's get my first one in. It's a lovely Mary Tam and re-entered acting for the...
So she really did enjoy The Midas Touch. She came back for more.
Yes.
So we do have some sort of Doctor Who connections and a surprising Skippy connection, and we will deal with them as they occur.
Dear listener, you cannot see how much I'm squinting at this.
All right, so... So I guess I don't know how you're watching this. Probably everyone at home has the box set. Is there a box set, Brendan?
There is a box set. It's been released several times. There was a Contender edition that was released. The edition you've probably got at home is the Optimum edition, which is the one with the white cover. There was also an edition released in Australia by Umbrella Entertainment and, of course, finally by A&E in the US. It has unfortunately not yet had a Blu-ray release or restoration, which is a great pity. One episode has, Last of the Cybernauts, but that's not for here. But yes, look, you can definitely find editions around if you like.
Okay. Well, we're going to pretend that we're on the menu screen right now, and in a moment... I'm going to ask Brendan to press the button, and I'm going to do that the next time. Well, I'm going to say a code word, as is now traditional, and the code word for tonight's episode is everything. So when I next say that word, I want everyone to press the play button. All right, here goes. Everything. And we're off. Okay. Now, this is a that guy. Who is that guy? Not this guy, this guy. Was he, someone?
Yeah, he's been in Doctor Who.
Obviously. He has been in Doctor Who, and yes, Minister.
He was an actor, I believe.
He's an actor. Because this is, of course, the Seeds of Doom, isn't it? So yeah. We've got a very low-budget Scarrison that's just busting in.
I actually...
Dennis Waterman.
I have literally no idea what this has to do with the rest of the episode.
It doesn't matter because that was Tanya Mallett.
Yeah, literally for 2 seconds.
We get a
close-up of her in a second.
And that's John Carson from Snake Dance.
Yeah. Last seen blacking up in a problematic way in an episode of The Saint.
Tilly Masterson. Do you know Tilly Masterson? I mean, yes, we'll talk about Carson in a bit, but do you know... Tanya Mallett auditioned for the part of Tatiana Romanova from Russia with Love, but the producers told her she was too English, and she said. Then she kindly informed them, "You know that my grandfather was actually in the Russian Imperial Army. She was actually half Russian, yeah."
It's a bit like when John Barrowman auditioned for the role of Will in Will and Grace, but was told he wasn't gay enough.
No.
Mm. Imagine telling John Barrowman he's not gay enough for something.
That's right. He probably had his bum out at the time.
And she was, of course, Helen Mirren's cousin. And we only lost her in March 2019, so...
So, if you could keep an eye out for her at home, that would be...
she'll be on again. So brusque. She'll be on again. Don't be awful. It's special. It's the only other time you ever get to squint at her. She was on the cover of Vogue in 61. You know. Joanna Lumley, you eat that. Yeah.
Speaking of 61, here's Patrick McNee.
How old in this one?
Oh, well, you know... Actually, he would only be about 56, 57 here, I think.
Really?
He was about 50 when he finished The Avengers.
Gosh. Right. Younger than I was. Upsetting. This is where we weirdly get into what British TV was about to become with The Professionals and all those series afterwards. So it's that strange crossover of 60s spy-fi snazzy glam and old poofs in glitzy outfit, because this is really their version of Goldfinger. Yeah. And yet we're doing a whole lot of... it's actually almost Survivors, isn't it? But a whole lot of The Professionals, which was about to follow on.
Which, of course, was also created by Brian Clemens.
Yes.
With Ray Austin, etc.
Yes. And, of course, everyone's dressed like an Auton or unit guard from 1970.
Yeah, yeah. I love this fake out because we do think that they're after, you know, Carson here. What's his name?
Freddy.
Well, we'll find out in a minute after these beautiful opening credits.
Are we going to sing the theme tune?
No.
No, yeah, because it looks like it's going to be the theme tune from the 60s Avengers, and then it just goes all porno funk on us.
Like I do actually love this music. Now, yeah, these titles.
Oh, hello, Knickers.
These titles, which are a collection of clips from the first six episodes, this isn't definitively known, but this appears to be a last-minute decision, and that is Joanna Lumley's audition piece, which is why she has different hair. But the animated titles, which come in later, were apparently running late, and they needed to ship the first six episodes, so they did a montage. And I actually think it's better than the eventual animated titles, which were the first CG animated titles.
Ever.
Right. Ever. They were done on computer, and they're quite stiff. Right.
Yeah. It is sort of immediately shocking, given that the titles... This is the first time sort of I've watched this show in earnest. And so, you know, the original titles, which are just about being incredibly fucking glamorous.
Yeah.
And this is all about sort of running around in exploding cars and shit.
He's been nibbled.
By a
Tanya Mallett. Did you know that though? Her maternal grandfather was a colonel and was just happened to be stationed in London during the revolution. And they said, "I think we should stay. What do you reckon? Is it all right?" And that's why she was there.
Bang!
Marvelous.
So, what can you tell me how this happened?
The New Avengers.
Yeah, yeah.
So, in around 1975, the owners of Laurent Perrier Champagne wanted to make a commercial with Patrick McNee and Linda Thorson.
Right.
So, they flew them over to France, rebuilt a version of Steed's flat and made a champagne ad with them. And... then discovered that no Avengers episodes had been made for the past 6 years.
Which they had not realised. They were still showing them. They just thought everyone was too drunk to notice. or that. I mean, McNee, you can excuse, but no, that Linda Thorson had not aged from 20.
Now, anyway. Just to break that for a moment, and Nathan, this is the point of the pre-credits bit, because this is the transmission that the guy was intercepting.
Okay.
But yes, and that kick-started Brian Clemens getting French and Canadian funding to make a version of the New Avengers. Yeah. Now, there's no evidence that Linda Thorson was approached.
Right.
And indeed, Patrick McNee initially wasn't going to be part of it, but Brian Clemens decided to bring him in. It was just going to be these two new characters.
Is that Tilly over there?
No, that's it. We've seen her now. That was it.
Yeah. No, he's got a different girl every scene.
He's a bit like that. It's called Steed Stud for a reason, that house. It's true.
And he's barely in it. And he is phoning it in when he's there.
McNeet?
No, he's not phoning it in, but these early ones, he is kind of very much in the background. This is probably the first one where he's taking a more active role.
Because right. It wasn't really written. Yeah, it was still a two-handed game.
Yeah.
There, of course, what's that, Skip?
I spent the whole episode thinking, what Doctor Who has he been in?
Okay,
of course, that's Ed Devereux.
Ed Devereux, yes. It's
Ranger Hammond.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Now, James, you got very excited seeing this location.
Yes, is it the derelict warehouse from Invasion of the Dinosaurs?
It is.
It is.
Is it, is. It where Dieter Tarrant got killed?
Yes. Yes.
There's only one derelict warehouse in London. That's not true, especially after Thatcher. No,
this is pre-Thatcher.
Yeah.
It's very sensual, isn't it?
Don't you just breathe?
Just yeah. Reach behind you and tuck my doorknob.
That actually, Richard, that's the thing. Watching this time, I'm like, oh my god, there is some Higgins Pickering stuff going on here. These two, I mean, especially Turner, who is the Goldfinger-esque villain.
I like gold.
He's very gay. Oh, it's Tim's chair from The Goodies.
God, it is.
I need to do a YouTube montage of all the times that chair turns up.
Yeah, every time they haul it out of storage.
That's not Tanya Mallett, by the way.
Oh, isn't it? She's not been painted. She's not got a tit down.
She's not
quaint
been painted gold for this one, no.
So is this her hair or is it a wig?
No, it is her hair. So unkind. But, yes, they had problems with it. They let it grow out because it took forever.
Yeah. And this became a fashion sensation.
It was a huge thing in the mid-70s, the Purdy Bob, or the Mushroom, as it was called. It's truly everyone had it.
Yeah, I didn't have Mushroom for that.
You and the boys. You and the boys, lovely. There's some lovely balletic moves. This feels early Avengers, doesn't it, in the way it's set up and done. But they've got grimy, realistic locations, which they never had. This is Roland Lacey, whom we all know from such adventures of Doctor Who as...
No, he is the baby-eating Bishop of Bath and Wells.
He is also the baby-eating. He is also,
And he's in The Joker of the Avengers.
Yes,
and he is. Legacy of Death. And he's basically playing the same character here that he was playing in Legacy of Death. Who was he in Doctor Who?
No, he wasn't in Doctor Who, as far as I could tell.
It's fair enough to assume that. He's got a wonderful face for it.
This is an absolutely baffling... Like, what the fuck is he?
I've looked into this. Oh, he's also, you know who he is. He's the bloke that melts in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes, of course.
He's doing a nice turn of that there. There were only four Chinese Eurasian actors available that the director would have considered for this. Bert Kwok, Eric Young, Anthony Chin, who'd been in UFO but wasn't really acting anymore, and another bloke whose name escapes me. And apparently that's the reason, even though, don't quote me, there's a DBS. It could indeed be our George Lazenby or Roger Moore, but it's not. So it was the UK in the mid-70s, and they just didn't have that many Asian experienced actors that were available and that they knew would be able to work to the schedules that they were working at. There were some in rep, but...
Which
is why we see the same white actors turning up in every show.
Yeah. But, I mean, it is sort of very weird, isn't it?
Yeah. I think we have to give them a bit of credit that they're like, look, these actors are going to do an accent, but we're not going to yellow them up and we're not going to do funny things to the eyes. And the way I read Hong Kong Harry is that he is a British expat. Mm.
He could have just not been doing the funny accent.
I was going to say that. Or that he was a British expat that had grown up in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
You know, if you want a headcanon to make it not racist.
but the other thing is, the voice he's doing is the same voice he does in Legacy of Death when he's taking off Peter Lorre in in Casablanca.
Yes.
I'll
grip that gold thing. I will.
I was saying to Nathan earlier, there is another episode of the New Avengers called Trap, which is absolutely terrible for... Let's put a white actor into an Asian role and get him to do a very strange voice that I wouldn't even say is a cliche Chinese voice.
Yeah.
and call him Su Choi, but he's obviously, he looks like Peter Serafinowicz in a fat suit.
Now, he was a costermonger. He was a wrestler and a bloke down at Covent Garden. But it's also got Pigs and Lamb.
She's coming up here.
And she's in this as well. Again, there were only five Asian actors that they could trust.
Now here's the plot. He wants gold, and bloke from Skippy is offering him
Ranger Hammond.
I'm sure he does.
I think he's called Van or something. Is he called Van? I did write it down.
Mr. Van, yes. Yeah. Two N's.
And he's foreign, but it's all very kind of...
Enter the pussy.
Yeah.
It's very ill-defined.
Yeah, which is what the Avengers did with sort of European countries. They'd never... Past about the Honor Blackman era, they'd never say this character is from Russia.
Right.
They are from the continent.
They're foreign.
They're from behind the curtain.
They're from over there.
Got some lovely angles and beautiful editing. I think the editing is actually better than the original Avengers.
Well, the director of this is Robert Fuest, who directed some of the Tara Kings, including some very well-received ones, such as Whoever Shot Poor George Oblique Stroke XR-40. Yes. I love this scene.
Harold Pinter. You know, like they're in this car chase, but they're discussing who directed, you know, did John Huston direct the Treasure of Sierra Madre or whatever.
We're back to Clark Gable and Carol Lombard.
It's wonderful.
Or Spencer Tracy and Catherine Hepburn.
There's a callback to it later on. It's really terrific.
And isn't she porcelainous, as we say on the podcast? Mm. Isn't she extraordinary? And we're reaching the Crusades. Yeah.
And this bit. She's peeling an orange.
I know. And then she feeds him some of it. It's incredibly great.
And I remember this as a little boy, 9 years of age, being astonished by it. It is astonishing and beautifully shot and really nice. It's great. I don't know why it wasn't a bigger success. It certainly was a big hit in Australia.
It is a pretty good car chase.
This is mid-70s. We didn't. The American shows did this, but nobody else did. Homicide didn't count. Go on.
just saying, Brian Clemens, it's funny because I always thought of the new Avengers, you know, why isn't it quirkier and why isn't it weirder and why is it a bit more violent and this, that, the other? And then 2011, that Avengers convention I went to, Brian Clemens said, no, we wanted to make it more violent and gritty with just a little touch of the quirkiness. And I kind of think it fell between two stools. You had people who were fans of the Avengers who wanted the quirky and didn't quite get it. And you had people who were fans of the American cop shows who didn't quite get that seriousness. And it's also... For me, I kind of understand because the Avengers got so weird towards the end because it had to keep building and building and building. Where do you go from there?
Yeah.
So they brought it back down to earth a bit.
Marry me.
It's hilarious that you say that during this scene.
When he's putting the tool
on. Bit.
Yeah.
A bit. Bunnies.
Yes, Nephthys is liking this.
I just
this
had
scene.
That song from Once More With Feeling in my head now.
Except for bunnies. Now, if everyone wants a bit of gritty realism to go with that whimsy, I'd just like to point out all of those rabbits are probably dead.
Oh, no. Well, most of the human beings in this are probably dead.
That's true. John Carson is. Although only in the last couple of years.
So is Gareth Hunt.
Ed Devereaux.
Is Gareth Pat Hunt? McNee.
Yeah, he died first.
Pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really
but he had the nice last thing he did was an episode of Absolute Power.
Yes.
As himself.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Was it good?
He was basically playing a washed-up deck.
There he is trying to do Jonah Lumley. Only one Jonah Lumley can jump over a fence with a knickers up like that. There we go.
That's so ladylike.
It's awesome. Like watching the cat give itself a bath.
Purdy's first season outfits are generally better than her second season. Second season, they brought in a French designer
who put
her in fashion and couture and all this, but how do you jump a fence in that?
Even that's not that practical.
But everything
was split and had dancers' knickers.
I love this again, left, right, left, and then each of them goes the way that the other one wanted to go or whatever.
But she said she was running in Charles Jourdan shoes and really feeling it. I mean, this is proper stunt work. Just doing that. You go, Pats. Really, really.
I do like how they've slightly overcranked the camera as well. So they're running is kind of...
I'm just waiting for Ruby Wax to jump in and say, have you met Joanna? She's so talented. Yeah.
This. They run here.
That's not as subtle as you suggested it was.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
They slightly overcredit.
I'm just hearing rigid Bustenhalter.
My director on the last show I was working on was talking to me about speed ramps and whatnot because they're all done digitally now. But, of course, he had worked on film and he's like, there is a frame rate you can crank the camera at for film to make this is speeding up just ever so slightly look good. That wasn't it. I think it does help that
flares.
Joanna's... I blanked for a second. Joanna, beautiful shot. Dita Tarrant. Joanna's costumes were designed by a woman called Catherine Buckley, who, you know, wouldn't understand better than anyone how Joanna would have to move in that gear.
She was a TV costume designer. Yeah.
Mm. As well as being good at her costuming job. But
does Gareth ever grow his porn star moustache in this?
No. He got rid of it after Metapenalus. Planet of the Spiders. Yeah.
Nice butt work there, Gareth. Mm. Nice clenching. They were doing a lot of their own stunts.
Yeah.
Does he have a first name?
Yeah, Mike.
Mike Gambit.
Mike.
But come on. But Purdy doesn't or... It might be her last name or it might be her first name.
Annoyingly, yeah, we don't know. There are production notes that her name is Purdy Green and I don't like it.
No, it's Betty Purdy.
She was going to be called Charlie and the first three scripts have her as Charlie and then somebody mentioned it was probably Joanna. She said, you know you can already buy this as a cent in the shops. Charlie was a by Lontharic.
Yeah. That really hurt.
Really hurt. So and it was Joanna who suggested, well, the handmade guns, Purdy. There you go. Make me a gun. I'm a gun.
And I think at some time in the second season that is actually put into the dialogue. My father named me after his favourite shotgun.
Oh. Oh, really? So it is a Christian name. Because her stepfather is a bishop.
Ah.
The baby-eating Bishop of Bath. Well,
otherwise known as Babe and the Butcher.
You know, I didn't know what sort of show this was.
That's a bit frisky, isn't it, Pat?
And what the rules accent. Were. No, the accent and also the eyes. He's doing narrow eyes. He's doing some serious epicanthic acting.
Yeah, he's definitely doing Eurasian.
It's very bad. But I didn't know what sort of show this was, so I wondered whether a mad scientist had invented a thing that replaced your blood with gold dust. Do you know what I mean? Just for a second, I thought, what are the rules here? Well, would that be...
If it was a Linda Thorson episode, yeah, sure. <Pretty much. laughs>
Oh, dear.
Is Pat still in the corset in this one, Creek? Because, he was in the early ones and then he lost all the weight.
Because apparently, with Pat... Brian Clemens was thinking, look, you're mother now. You're in the mother role. But he never actually articulated that to Pat. And after about the first three or so episodes, Pat said, why am I always back at the house? And they're off doing the interesting things. And Brian Clemens, having known him for 20 years, just said, Pat, you've put on 20 kilos. If I have you running down a corridor, Joanna has to go slower and it looks ridiculous. So he took a crash diet and lost 20 kilos.
Okay.
And honourable man that he is, Brian Clemens said, okay. It's a fully dredged triumvirate now.
Right.
So I think this was like the middle point. I think Richard, yes, he may still be in the corset, but he has certainly lost weight since the Eagle's Nest.
He certainly has.
Just because he saw the script.
I think we're all going to redecorate after watching this one, aren't we? It does sort of feel like what Colin Baker's TARDIS would have been given another season or two. You're invited to a party. Is there anything not to love in this? I'm finding the clash of different sentiments, and I'll call it sentiments of production values because rather than actual tropes. But, yeah, the tough and gritty. You know what actually saves this? Let's just cut all that. The reason this works is Joanna Lumley.
Yes. Well, I actually think the way that she interacts with Gambit is really fun. Like, that's the best thing about it, is just that interplay that they have. And it's clear now. So these degenerates here, they'll all be dead soon.
Well, this is the UK's version of Eyes Wide Shut
with clown for the masks. He's in a Superman.
There are other people we know in this scene. I won't spoil it. I'll just let you see if you can spot them.
Is Cilla Black?
Sadly not.
It's Howard the Duck.
Cilla Duck.
I love how the duck drinks later. Did you see that?
Yes.
Like the duck drinks.
Yes.
And it's the Vashti Narada. No, you know. Oh, and then we've got Tom Baker in his Pierrot outfit and the Vashti Narada.
This bit was great to do the subtitles for.
Yeah, easy.
Because yeah. no one says anything.
Are you sure of this? You just couldn't hear it? Pass the LSD. Punch.
But the intention was that they were going for the billionaire parties, not the Studio 54 thing. But, you know, everybody's known about this for a long time. What do the super, super rich parties, what are they actually like? Well, they couldn't show all of it, could they? But, pretty much this.
No one gets a tit out, do they?
We're back at Diana Dawes, aren't we?
Oh, Lordy.
Serving botulism at a dinner party is social death.
It's where the expression turd in a punch bowl.
Because mostly I'm feeling like we're watching an episode of Ab Fab now. it's one of Eddie's flashbacks.
It's sex.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Look at the duck drink. That's the best thing. Come on.
I'm reminded of Coco the sex pest. I don't know why.
I hardly know her. I do wonder if the frog mask is a reference to the Abominable Dr. Fibes. Ooh, which of course has a similar scene. They're out here in their sou'westers. They're fine.
Yeah, I do love those. They look like the things that the people who put the fires out on the planet Phosphoron were in Killer, in that Blake 7 episode. Was it Phosphoron?
Maybe. Yeah.
Do you know why Tonya Mallet did this? This is really lovely. Just simply because having known everyone in the crowd and been in the modelling for years in Vogue, she'd known Lumley. And did it for the mates thing. And she said, "Oh no, it'll just be fun. I'll just do it because they'd work together." And she liked Pat McNee, so it turns out everybody knew each other, and it was just all a lovely party. Mm. And they said, "It's fine. We'll just get drunk, and you sit in the car. You don't have to say anything." She said, "All right, fine."
Just outside the cockpit.
It's a sexy party. And they're all dead.
Well. Look, it's pretty much like one of Brendan's Christmas parties after all.
Except the punch is not spiked with death.
Although the feeling the next day.
Though maybe during Corona it would be.
Yeah.
And she's Kellyanne Conway. Alternative deaths.
The punch is fine. It's delicious. I haven't drank it, but I've sampled it.
It's the best punch. I make the best punch.
It's a beautiful punch. It packs the
I have the biggest punch. It's made with orange.
I just love that they're still wearing the tulle.
Well, he's poisonous. Like, he's a bad guy.
Yeah, like we used to dress up as princesses and brides when our parents were particularly concerned for our future heterosexuality.
Just noticed he didn't.
What are we
put
thinking about
on?
Gareth Hunt's performance? Values, I like Gareth, gentlemen. I think he's hilarious and fun and cool. And I'm not quite sure. I think I'm definitely getting a sense of the John Levine. He's not sure of himself in the way that Connery was in his first scenes.
But when he gets more confident into this show, he's got this great sort of sardonic.
I think he's really funny. And Joanna always said, and I've got two of her autobiographies here. No, the only person who didn't realize what a good actor Gareth Hunt was Gareth Hunt.
Right. Honestly, most of the time, I think the scripting doesn't do him many favors.
They drop him to third, don't they?
They don't. It's just that, you know, they give Patrick charm because Patrick is Steed, and they give Joanna charm because she's the woman.
And you just can't not. And,
yeah, and they kind of give him perfunctory stuff.
Right.
But I agree with you, James. Once he finds his feet, like something like Faces, He is
so good.
He's extraordinary.
Speaking of faces,
yes.
Why, hello.
Hello
you
there.
Need a refill, by the way?
If looks could kill.
So he's a French actor. He doesn't have that many credits. I did look him up before.
Yes, he's Gilles Millionaire.
Yeah.
Which is an appropriate name for a story about gold. Well, the new Avengers did have its share of French actors in the British episodes, for much the same reason that Italian actors turn up in Space 1999.
It was a co-production.
It was a co-production.
Yeah.
So Brian Clemens arranged with a production company in France to make 26 episodes over two production blocks. And then as they were entering the second production block, which we now call Series 2, they realized there was a shortfall and they sought funding from Canada. The Canada funding came with the condition that four episodes must be made in Canada. When the French partners found out about this, well, you need to make three episodes in France.
And they were do they do that?
Is they do.
Sort of, yeah. K is for kill.
Here's Pixie Lim. Pixen Lim.
She is.
From Doctor Who.
Playing
the
exactly
Mind of Evil.
The same bloody part.
And she is married to...
Don Houghton.
Yeah.
Or who, Don Horton, however you pronounce it.
And here is Jonah Lumley as a toasted marshmallow.
But
no, she really is. Isn't she gorgeous?
Oh, she's fantastic. And she's really good in this as well and has just a little tiny air of menace. I would have loved for her to be a recurring character.
And it would have been fun, wouldn't it?
This is super bad.
Why is that, John?
Oh, look at this. If you would be prepared to personally be involved in my fathering children.
That's Steve.
It's so gross. And then she calls him a dirty old man, only in French.
Become a roué.
Yeah.
Which, as we know, is butter and flour cooked in.
that's how he gained the 20 kilos.
When it came time to do the foreign produced episodes, basically Brian Clemens had checked out.
Yeah, right. Pretty much. But they're good. I just watched one the other night.
I like two of the Canadian ones and the French ones.
I love
ones.
Complex.
The French ones exist. I love Complex and I love Emily. Actually, no, I love three of the Canadian
K
ones.
K is for Kill?
K is for Kill would have been great as one episode. I don't know why it's a two-parter.
Because it's got Diana Rigg.
But actually, Lion...
Wait, what?
Sort of.
Oh. Yeah. Lion and the Unicorn's okay. Yeah, actually, really, it's only Gladiators that's really bad at the foreign ones.
I love that too. Because I'm still watching it as a nine-year-old, yeah. You see, and just adoring. But Lumley is electrifying. She is really, she's the closed circuit of putting your finger, holding a battery in your teeth and putting your finger in a glass of water at the same time. She was astonishing and hugely, hugely popular.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, in the UK and here. How did she do in France and Canada? Oh, do we know?
I don't know about Canada, but France loved her.
Yeah.
And France especially loved her when she started wearing French fashions, of course.
Yeah, because they're a bit like that, a bit Frenchy poos.
But
He does look hot, doesn't he, Midas?
He does look like something from a Warhol. Oh, yeah. Do we have to? Can we segue to mention the filmic references in this? James has a pussy in his face.
Dear the listener. First time ever.
There she goes.
She's lit. Nef, this has been very spoilt.
Get your cat away from my face.
James, I think that was a power play. She was the patsy of the whole thing. But with everything Joe has done, I still reference back to this as being quintessentially Lumley, and I think this is closest to her own humour and her own persona.
Do you remember? Do you remember the flashback to Safi's birth
in series one in the outfit,
where she's wearing the outfit and the wig
and looking exactly the same? This is really very sad. And since we're doing the John Carson O'Mara retrospective, and that we've done him twice now, he's really very good, isn't he?
Yes.
I got a nasty feeling he was referencing Ian Hendry, but I would like to say that I'm wrong.
Well, Ian Hendry will turn up
in
the new Avengers, not as Kiel.
It's a bit sad that he's not Kiel.
Yeah.
And it's a bit sad watching him because he's really...
He's giving up drinking, is it?
It's not us, darling. No, you need to check out the roll hat and the coat. I think she's doing the last of the Romanoffs as a toasted marshmallow. Well, there we go. I mean, really, what is that outfit? Really?
It is very odd.
Mind you. I mean, you know, there's us.
Also, was he pouring alcohol all over himself so he would catch fire quicker? Was that what was happening?
Yeah. But I get the impression with this that, yeah, he knows that, he understands what's happened to him because he's been spying at this place and he realizes that if Steed or Purdy touch him, they're going to die. So he not only kills himself, but in such a way.
He does it to save them.
Burns the body.
Yeah. Because he's still a team player. He's still one of the chosen. Yeah. You never really lose the code.
Now, once you've been in the department.
Yes. Mm.
Interesting that the Auric Goldfinger touches. Even Gambit is wearing a gilt edged suit.
It's great, actually. Look at that.
Yeah, it's the duck.
What did they die of? A surfite of orange sauce.
Now,
which is really rude if you stop and think about it. Anyway,
it's Leela's husband. Sorry.
Yes. Oh my god, it's Leela's husband.
Tranchel.
Is that a good thing?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's his only scene. So.
That really was. Andrew, and he was just as effective in this role as the other.
This time he's Irish. He was Irish. And his Irish accent was only slightly worse than Mike Gambit's when it comes about.
Oh dear.
I mean, this is gay.
Oh my lord, this is gay. This is.
Oh, he's going to marry them. Is that what's happening?
Everyone's at it.
It's just, and you can see that. Look, I keep coming back to design. You can see the design inferences that are very Tara King, as in the set is one bold color with all these odd TARDIS-like objects, just like Billy Hartnell's control room, just floating in this negative space as if it's a magazine spread. They were really going for the comic graphic effect. Oh, I would have loved. I hadn't got new Avengers comics here, actually. That everyone's a ponce. What the hell is he doing? It's mincing. It's like I'm a general mincing. General mincing, yes. Just to throw in the Asiatic references.
And what country is this? This is just some. This I got confused. So there are two foreign countries.
No one knows.
It's a tin pot little Asian nation.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. No, or South American.
Well, okay. You have Hong Kong Harry, who has come over from Hong Kong, who seemed to be bidding for Midas. Then you've got this guy who is from possibly a European monarchist country or South America. Or as we
in South America?
As we may later see, Egypt.
Oh, okay.
You know, he's kind of from a generic small foreign country that has a monarch.
It seems to be a country that where you can't afford your own moustache. He probably had to share that with all of his brothers.
He had to share that with Skippy.
But it was pretty common for the Avengers not to reference specific countries, even Russia.
Right.
In the Emma Peel era, there would be references to Behind the Curtain.
Right.
Yeah.
Or an eastern state.
Is that a saleability thing so that it doesn't offend anyone?
I think it was to emphasize that this is a fantasy world.
Yeah. So it doesn't have real geopolitics in it or anything. Yeah.
So, you know, Philip Maddock and Michael Goff would still put on a Russian accent along with Anna Quayle, but they're not from Russia.
I love this scene.
Now, who is this guy? This is another that guy, isn't it?
This guy's another that guy.
Yeah.
No, he's in Yes Minister. He's in.
Yeah.
Come on.
This scene is really incredibly funny, isn't it?
It's brilliant.
And I am not very good at telling where the jokes are going to go, but there's a scene coming up where it was just like, oh, please, please let Purdy turn up before he does. And of course it happens.
But I love how she's in this sort of designer. Sort of red,
sort of
brown
camo.
Khaki thing.
Yeah. Just Purdy. Yeah, I mean, this is just sort of shitty exposition, isn't it? Like, it is just. But. And the guy trips when he is forced to imagine having her in bed. Yes!
So I like good. To think that that's Joanna Lumley the entire time, but I think it's only her from the front, isn't it?
She claims she did most of this work herself.
Wow.
And they just, because they just, you know, the budget wasn't there. Every cent they spent is front and center of the camera.
Right. Yeah.
So.
This actor is Jeremy Child.
So it is.
And he has been in...
A Fish Called Wanda.
Ah, yes.
The Iron Lady.
I think...
And the TV show.
Hold on. And this, like, it's just so great. It's so bizarre.
He's a baronet.
Yeah, he's a bit poshy pants.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he does actually carry the whole Sandhurst thing off quite well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can really believe it. But then her dad was in the British Army, you know. She said she was an army brat.
Mm. Yeah.
Lumley. I think they fit together very well, don't they? She's kind of like Leela if she'd been posh. Or Ace if she'd been upper middle class.
See, the thing I love about Joanna as Purdy, it's the same thing I love about Linda Thorson as Tara King that Emma Peel didn't always have, which is when she goes to meet someone doing their thing.
Mm.
Emma Peel would often stand there going, well, I'm far too good for this.
Because she was, to be fair.
Whereas Purdy and Linda will join in.
Yeah.
And the few times Emma does that, I absolutely love her character. Like when she goes up the chimney with Bertram Fortescue Winthrop Smythe in From Venus with Love. She's so delightful in that because she meets this posh bloke with a title who has to go by the name Bert Smith. Otherwise, people won't let him sweep their chimneys. And he loves chimneys.
Oh, that's beautiful. It's, of course, Jeremy Lloyd in that episode, who, of course, was Joanna Lumley's husband and father of her child.
I did not know that.
They were married very briefly in the late 60s. And that's why she's in the very first season of Are You Being Served? As a German Hausfrau. A really bad wig. She said she
turns up in later.
Yeah, no, she turns up as the representative of a perfume company.
She does,
too. Yeah. Yeah.
So, would you like to try Lerifron's new Reflechon spray?
Jeremy Child will later turn up in Sapphire and Steel as one of the McDees in the fifth adventure. I love this bit. What are you doing here? Hello. I'm hiding behind a statue.
He's feeling it up as well because he's gold.
You would, wouldn't you? I mean, you know.
That's so great.
I mean, yeah, Goldfinger may love gold, but Turner loves
really
gold.
Really loves gold.
Whether it likes it or not.
Bottom's full of it.
Why Jeremy Child is so familiar. Oh, look, you know, Pat just has, he really does just play himself, doesn't he? But such charm and ease. And then there's a stiffness to Gareth's performance. There was some complexity and contradiction in the role, and Brian Clemens talked about it later, with a tint of regret that we never quite knew where to place the Mike Gambit character. And there's a really bitter, unfortunate line out at Steed Stud, which is what it was called, when they're shooting Gambit says, I want to keep calling him Mike Hunt. sorry, Nephthys. But he keeps saying, there's a throwaway line as to Steed as, oh, well, you know, that's I wouldn't know about that. And Steed says to him, well, you can't help your background. And it really rankles. And you think, you don't belong in the Avengers. The Avengers was never about class. It was about comfort.
Well, Steed is supposed to be...
Steed is Pat. He went to Eton. And he was a major in the forces. So, yeah.
He wouldn't have done something like that.
Well, no, exactly. Yeah. Steed wouldn't say that and Pat wouldn't say that. It's a really awful line. But it does play... There's a line that Purdy throws. It's a little similar as well. You just think, oh, it rankles. He might as well just do a big Irish accent and have a chip on his shoulder the whole way. Oh, hello. You kind of... expecting him to go in a punch up with Timothy Dalton and just to see whoever's hair is the prettiest.
Whoever's hair is left intact at the end.
Vile, though.
What's vile, Don?
Can I have her?
I must have her.
Well, because he can't have sex with anyone
No, it's pretty astonishing, isn't it? Yeah. I think he practices on toffee apples. It's not going to go well. She'll stand on one leg.
That's why they're so sticky.
God, he must take a fair half of the bottle to get a toffee apple. Now,
oh, wait for it. Wait for it.
Here's this, another one of these big sets.
Yeah. And this, and I love it. It's a Space 1979, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is where we meet the Bruce, the costermonger from Covent Garden, who's playing. Yeah, wait for it.
I'm yeah. getting more end of 2001.
Yeah, very much.
Or indeed a little bit late Weimar cinema. Because it is. But yeah, it feels, it's really elegant, isn't it? The way they shot this. And they're big sets. British TV didn't look like this in the 70s. This is astonishing. Oh, dear.
What do you want? I want a white box.
Surfaces.
Oh, my God.
Now,
Troy.
The thing is, when I was first watching, I'm like, oh, he's Troy. And I subtitled it as Troy. And then in the credits, he's Choi. I'm like, oh, dear.
Oh. It's such a great sort of bizarrely directed fight scene.
Completely insane. The tragic part is that it wasn't played by Bruce Purchase with a metal parrot on his shoulder.
He will turn up.
He does, Bruce and Purchase. He's actually a bit dish and all. And he plays a South African with it. He's really good at it too. Yeah.
And he gives Steed some homemade liquor, and he says, "This is how I test the strength of a man." And Steed says, "Intestinal fortitude." Now, okay, we've been saying like, Gareth isn't too comfortable, but this is brilliant. He sells the threat of the episode.
Yeah.
And, you know, this scene, he could easily come across as threatening towards her, but he's not being threatening.
He's beguiling, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He's trying to persuade her.
Isn't she good?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just the silent, I'm not doing anything, and yet I'm holding the camera. Yeah, I love them both.
Like this slow realization.
How does he know all this, though?
Because he's seen the party.
At the party.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
I just thought that he was giving some unjustified exposition there.
I wish they'd had Delgado in this, though, don't you?
Yes. Yeah. He is in Tara King with Kate O'Mara. Yes. But
when are we doing that? Not too far off. Spoilers.
Well,
did you notice the lovely, elegant shots again that they just keep shooting her as if it's a Kurosawa through? Yeah.
Yeah, three things.
Yeah, it's just a lovely, lovely sort of. Oh.
It's just like, I think that's everyone's reaction. What is going on?
Oh, it's that sort of party.
I love Joanna Lumley much.
Okay. I really do.
She's obviously enjoying the fuck out of doing this show.
They really were, weren't they? Yeah.
I mean, that's it. She's being tied to a chair and she's, you know, so that guy can rape her later. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But because she never really feels threatened, it was like Diana Rigg, you know.
Yes.
What's the episode where she's in that giant chastity?
Oh, yes.
Thing,
yes.
Not a chastity case.
Murdersville. Chastity,
Murdersville.
Yeah.
And she just kind of thinks, oh, you know, like whatever. Like she never really feels. Do you know what I mean? Like this is not getting in my way.
Brian Clemens was very sensitive about violence towards women. He had a rule that no women were to be killed. Right. It did get broken from time to time. But
like in The Maneater of Surrey Green.
Like The Maneater of Surrey Green. But he also had a thing of...
Gay.
with the Avengers woman being in danger, the Avengers woman could be scared of physical danger, but was dismissive of sexual danger exactly to give her the power in that situation.
Oh, yeah.
And to make it clear to the audience that if someone is threatening sexual danger towards a woman, they are always a villain.
Yeah.
And they should be killed.
And they should be killed.
Yeah. you're right, Richard. He is evidently gay because he's fawning over Joanna Lumley. Of course he's gay. I really loved you in Absolutely Fabulous.
Yes, that's right. Oh, I what was
this?
What was George really like?
Can we touch Joanna Lumley?
Not
Do you think we could kiss Joanna Lumley?
One does not kiss Joanna Lumley. One is kissed by Joanna Lumley.
No, one is allowed. One is allowed to be kissed by Joanna Lumley.
The camera gets really close and she's flawless. Yeah. It's insane. She's in her early 30s in this one. She's about 32. She'd already popped a sprog. Her son, Jamie, is exactly my age.
Oh, she did a little Sharon Stone leg she cross
did.
There.
She did. Oh, and so did Gareth just then.
And it's one each. So she killed the guy that they wanted to question. Yeah. He's knocked this one out. So.
And then she says, we wanted to. And that's been nicked from her screen test.
Of course.
The footage of her screen test does exist, but not the audio.
Oh, okay.
It's not on the DVD, but Brian Clemens showed it at that big Avengers convention where Joanna recorded a special message because she was up the Nile on a boat.
Yes.
And she absolutely looks back on this with adoration.
How could you not?
She talks about it being like her first big break, and it is on the Australian Series 6 Avengers DVD.
This is what made her household name. Mm. Yeah. She had appeared in a number of films in bit parts and had some early success, but this is what cemented her as a star.
Big deal. And she was up for a lot. There were something like 400 and something women they tested.
Yes.
It was a really big deal.
I can't remember any of the names.
Dawn Porter. It's always Nari Dawn Porter.
Brian Clemens did show some of the other audition tapes at this convention. Anyone? I can't remember.
I'd love to see those.
So no one I immediately recognized.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Tanya Mallett.
Wouldn't surprise
Helen
me.
Mirren.
Now, this guy, the curator, is sort of a traditional...
Isn't he great?
...Avengers eccentric because he's... He's so disgusted by the idea of a coup to overthrow the monarchy because he loves royals.
I'm kind of expecting him to ask the goodies to do
to do
something for him.
Actually, I think he might actually be in an ep of the goodies. You know?
You know what he reminds me of? The one like with the lost tribe of the Orinoco.
Yes, with hazelnuts. Yes, and Roy Kinnear.
Yes.
It's Professor Nuts. And again, the driving is superb.
Yeah. Well, he's been in Le Mans.
She's very Franchi Poo, isn't she? Hello, darling.
So it's
I look like someone's died. Take these away.
It's a French kingdom.
It feels like French perspective. She's very Franchi Poo, yeah.
And the thing is, they've got an Egyptian sarcophagus. They have a Chinese dragon.
It's very Napoleonic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, are these from their country? Have they...
they've been plundered.
Have they plundered them? On? Yeah. But yeah, it's...
Joanna's having so much fun.
Well, him talking about his racing career in which he just sort of kept crashing cars. It's great. It's so fun. Yes,
I crashed at all of them.
It's looking pretty.
And enter one of Sutek's mummies.
There's Kenny Everett in the background. I think Gareth Hunt did say once in an interview that, you know, in the absence of any actual character write-up for Gambit, he viewed him probably as someone who had done all of his training and earlier work in Northern Ireland.
Oh, interesting.
And so had a great sense of justice, and possibly just because you're the military force doesn't mean you're right, is what he said.
That's nicely observed, yeah.
Mm.
That was very cheaply done.
We have a spider descending into a champagne glass as we sit here. This is very, very new Avengers.
There we go. We'll just let her find her way there.
Now, it's a Doctor Who cliffhanger because
there you go. She really is. Look.
McNear said, no, stop. Sorry, Richard.
Just a mere second before she bang. Was about to do it.
This is what I lived for at this age. Joanna Lumley's face kicks.
Look,
there she
has the most wonderful, like...
And she was doing them on all.
Mm.
Wow. Take that, you cow.
That was a foot. That was a foot, but it was a full foot away from his face.
Yeah, well... he's got all the diseases now.
My dreams of conquest.
And that's it. Very hastily wrapped up.
See,
there.
And not too long.
No, that's true. Not it's still long. Not Danger Man.
How many Midases have you seen?
I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Yeah, it is pretty good, isn't it?
So when are we doing the new Avengers podcast?
Oh, we're doing it now.
Sorry.
I still remember the first episode of New Avengers I saw was actually here, Richard.
Oh, no, really?
You brought us back here after a Doctor Who Day event and you made us watch Nors.
which I remember so clearly. How does that hold up?
You know what? Nors is one of the Nors is like the love and monsters of the new Avengers because people are
extremely good.
It's like people are like this is terrible and the giant rat doesn't look convincing and the whole thing is like
and then this is the paving stone for Latio.
Gambit.
I said you were wooden.
But the thing is, people don't get. No. It's just meant to be a send up of Jaws. You're taking it far too seriously. It has Jeremy Burnham as a comedy Frenchman in a striped shirt. For God's sake,
I think it's excellent.
I think it's excellent as well.
Is the first one about Hitler's brain?
Yes. And Peter Cushing.
Yes.
And
right.
Trevor Baxter.
Yes.
I have seen that one. That was the only one I'd seen before this, and I think Kate Ormond might have showed it to me at some point in the distant past.
Yeah, Peter Cushing is a Nazi scientist who defected and got better and has realised the error of his ways, but he's kidnapped in order to transplant Hitler's brain into a new body.
Right.
And he's kidnapped under the nose of Trevor Baxter, and when Gambit realises he's gone, he turns back to Trevor Baxter and says, what did you say your name was again? Finch, with two Fs. Two Fs suits you.
And is that by Terry Nation?
I think that one's by Brian Clemens. I don't know if Terry Nation does it.
He does do some, and they're not necessarily the best ones. I'll put that gently.
You astound me.
I know, but they
all have someone called Tarrant.
Yes. but no, Clemens writes look, I actually think this is every bit as good as the best moments of the original Avengers. It's just different good.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I miss, and I can imagine people missing at the time, is just the sheer 60s glamour and sort of ironic detachment.
Well, I have friends, as in teachers I was, you know, taught me at school, and friends are older than us, obviously, who say that at the time they thought this was better.
Right.
Because it was absolutely fresh. The thing that Clemens said is we never aped the majority. We never went with the topical. We always pitched what we expected TV to be in 24 to 36 months' time.
Right.
And that was the case with this. Yes, I think you could say that it is a bit of a potpourri. She's eating the potpourri. It's a bit of a potpourri in that it is Starsky and Hutch with the car chases. And it's actually also a bit of the French stuff that was going on at the time. The French cop show, Le Flic cop shows were gritty, like the Sweeney and the Professionals would later be. I wouldn't mind doing a Professionals episode at one point, actually, if there's any Bond people in that, because it carries on from this but gets it right, as in it's darker and butcher, and even though it's got Lewis Collins and Martin Shaw in one of the sweetest romances of all police shows of all time. They're the Cagney and Lacey of British TV. But I just find this gels, and I really do think that it's Lumley who is the marshmallow in the sandwich between the two boys.
Hair.
Yeah. And that's just a hair.
The gelling agent.
Because the lightness of touch, the humour, and the callback to the golden years of Hollywood's humour, the scribble humour.
Yeah. All right. Well, does anyone have, apart from that, does anyone have a closing statement? No? So I don't know, do we have plans? I'm studiously avoiding making any plans or suggesting anything. But
We do have a Cato Marathon coming on. We have some other little surprises and a Christmas treat.
That's not for here,
but we do. So that will all be coming along. We're recording this in July, of course. And you'll get it very quickly. But it would be nice to hear back from the listener to anything that, you know, perhaps you'd like us to moan on about.
We can see you in the bath, Colin.
The only tenet is that we like to include people who have been in Bond films. Yeah. It's still fingering the Bond legend.
Tenuous link.
Yes, that's right.
Although in this one we had three of them.
whether it's 60s spy-fi shit or 70s spy-fi shit.
It's not really spy-fi. It's sort of
McNeed. McNeed acted into the new millennium.
Yeah, he did indeed.
Yeah. And onto the planet Kolob. All right, so...
Where he rules to this day.
So I guess I'll put this out tomorrow morning because I've got literally nothing else to do. So I guess I should alert you, if you're into Flight 3 entirety, that there will be our usual Christmas in July. So we'll be returning with the next Doctor. And I guess all that remains is for me to say, until next time, please continue to be very diligent with your hand washing, cough hygiene, and social distancing. Thank you very much for listening, and good night.
Good night.
It was topical, wasn't it?
Good night. Good night.
Oh, James.
James. Wash your hands.
I did, repeatedly.
Look not at in the skin. Soup.
It's flaking off.
Obsessive.